Okay, so we discussed last time, and we started out by talking about all of the situations in which we're trying to separate actual basar from actual chalav, in cooking, in preparing, in our mouths, waiting, all of those things. And then what we learned last time was this concept of ta'am ki'ikar, that not only is the food itself forbidden, but if there is a way to draw out the taste. Now, the taste does not reduce the volume. It's not getting the liquid out of the piece of non-kosher, but it's the actual flavor. Again, I think the mushroom that we gave last time was if you soak tea leaves. So the tea leaf is still there, but the flavor, so obviously something from inside came out, that is usser as well. Once that is true, so the types of cases in which we're going to have to be concerned have now exponentially increased, because now it's no longer about actually finding physical basar or chalav or isser, but now there's even anytime there's a flavor, that is also going to be problematic. So we said last time, and then we said, okay, so what do you do when you have the flavor? So there is still a concept of bittul, of nullifying it. So if you have a situation in which you have two different types of food, and one is kosher and one is not kosher, or one is meat and one is milk, right? And they come together, then it's only and the flavors come together, so you take the piece out. So let's assume that you, let's take the easiest case. You cook a piece of meat in a vat of milk, right? So that is going to be forbidden. It's going to be forbidden mida oraisa. Is there some point, now I take the piece of meat and I remove it and I make sure there are no little pieces that fell off of it. Is it still prohibited? The answer is that as long as there still is flavor of meat, it is going to be forbidden. How am I going to know? I'm not able to taste it. So Chazal or Meshayer, they estimated that 60 times, when you have more than 60 times of one over the other, then it overwhelms it and it nullifies it. When it's the same types, that's what we discussed last time, min mimino, it's a bit more complicated. The next step, which is what we spoke about a little bit at the end last time, and we're going to talk about it now as well, more this week, is once we know that there's this concept that the flavor has significance, we also saw that the flavor can get absorbed into the walls of the kli. And that's why, as we're going to see in a moment, the Gemara is going to tell us that you have to have different kalim for meat and milk, right? If it was not true that there was this concept of absorptions, then as long as you could clean out your pots really, really well, there would be no reason to have two sets of pots. Right? Okay, so maybe midrabanan, we would say, to be extra careful, we want to make sure, fine. But in terms of ikar hadin, if there was no concept of things becoming balua, of things becoming swallowed up, then we would not have anything to be concerned about. So now... Exactly. So glass is an example. We're going to talk about it more in detail. Where glass, the Svardim and the Ashkenazim have a polar opposite views. Right? The Svardim assume that the glass cannot be boleya. Glass is an impermeable substance, and therefore there's no reason that you can't use this as long as it's clean. You could use, let's say, we'll talk about it actually today a little bit. We're going to talk about lids of pots. Right, when there's a mix-up, when you get the wrong pot, so that's going to be one of our topics today. But if, let's say, it's a glass lid of a pot, then as long as it's clean for a Sephardi, there would be no problem. You're allowed to use the chicken soup glass lid on top of the, cheese, something rather do, right? And Ashkenazim take it to the opposite extreme. Not only are you not allowed to do it, but we assume that if it gets, once you do it and it gets absorbed, you can't kosher it, right? So not only are we concerned that it could get in, but once it gets in, it can't, but it can get out into your food, right? So again, and as is often the case, the Spartans are probably right, right? It's the nature of glass is that glass doesn't absorb the same way, but okay, we're left with our minhagim. Okay, so let's see. We were a little bit in the middle. It's on page 120. The Gemara tells us in Chula and Tzadi Zayin Amud Alpha as follows. Kedera Shebich, again, which really just summarizes the halacha that I just mentioned. Kedera Shebich Ba Basar. If you have a pot in which you cooked meat, Lo Yivasha Ba Chalav. You're not allowed to cook milk in it. Which again teaches us that not just that the flavor is an issue, but that the flavor gets absorbed into the pot, and therefore if it gets absorbed into the pot, then when I cook the opposite type in it, it's also going to come out of the pot. And that's why we have to be concerned. V'im bishel, what if you did it? So then it depends. B'no sein tam. Then if you did it, right, if you cooked it's a fleshika pot. If you cook the something milchik in it, then if there is no taste that is going to be absorbed, then b'di'eved, right, you're not allowed to do it, but b'di'eved, the food would be permitted. We'll talk about the kalim soon. But the food would be permitted. If there is flavor, so then it's going to be aser. It's going to be aser.
So it's nothing about the material that the pot's made of.
At this point, not. We'll get to different materials a little bit later, right? That's why there's no difference in material. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Tzadi Gimel Aleph. Kedera Shebisha Babasa Levasha Bachala Vimbisha Babasoch Me Ace Le Ace Aser Ben Osein Tam. So the Shulchan Aruch added in two very important words that hopefully we'll focus on a little bit later, which is me'es le'es. Me'es le'es, from time to time, is halachic parlance for 24 hours. Meaning, so it means from the same time to the next time the same time comes around. So 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., right, to the following day, is 24 hours. So again, why this is true, we'll have to, we'll get to it hopefully on page 122. But for now, as long as the pot was used within the last 24 hours, then if there is any tam, then the food is going to be forbidden. Good? Good. Now, he points out here, right, that it's rarely ever bitul b'shishim in any of these kinds of cases. Right? Because if you need, right, I'll just read it the way he writes it, it's pretty clear. Right, in general, there's rarely ever bitul b'shishim in either of these cases of cooking in the wrong type of pot or inserting the wrong type of spoon into the pot, as the ratio of the surface of the pot to the food or utensil is usually much greater than 1 to 60. Right? If you're going to put a food, let's take, let me talk about meat and milk, but even if we're talking about, iser, right? So let's say we have a non-kosher pot, and you're going to cook water in the pot. So if the water absorbs the taste of the pork or whatever it was, the water is going to become forbidden. So in order to, you need 60 times more water to the entire surface area of the pot.
Why do you say surface area rather than volume?
I guess it depends what you mean by volume.
Volume includes the thickness of the
pot. Oh, fine. Okay, yeah. So that's correct. I'm sorry. I meant that also. I just want to make, it's not the filling of the pot, but the walls of the pot are included. Yes. Sorry. Yes, that is correct. So the chances that you are going to have 60 times more of the content in the pot versus the size of the pot is very, very rare. And therefore, well, you need to have a, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I thought you were questioning it. Right? It's very rare that such a thing is going to happen. So on a practical level, oftentimes there's going to be a problem. And this is not going to be what saves us. The 24-hour thing is often what's going to save us, but that we didn't get to yet. And the Beis Yosef points it out himself, right? And we divrei Rabbeinu Hatur Baruch Chaim Siman Daf Nun Beis B'Shem Rashi number 16. Mashma De'ein B'Mash B'Zolcha Kli Yishishim Keneged Kol El Kli. That you're not going to have a situation in which there's going to be 60 times the content of the kli to the size of the kli. Inami Mishkavza. Maybe you can have it She Rochav Hakadera Gedolv. It's very, very wide. Kol Kach Sheyafzik Ma'ayim Sheyishishu Keneged Kol Hakadera. If it's a very, very wide kli and very, very thin, then in theory, I'm not building one right now to show you, but you could maybe have a kli in which the contents is 60 times, the amount of water that it can hold is 60 times the amount of pot that exists. But the important point is that oftentimes, if you use the wrong type of pot for the opposite food, you're going to have a problem. Because bittul is very hard to come by. Bittul is very hard to come by.
With the spoon? It also mentioned a spoon.
He threw in the spoon. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say the spoon. The spoon is obviously a little bit easier to have, but oftentimes you don't have it either. I mean, imagine if you... usually we assume that you don't know how much the spoon went in, so you have to be mevatel kineged the whole spoon. Okay. So you have to have... imagine putting 60 spoons, you know, filling the whatever's in the pot with 60 spoons. So sometimes, sometimes you're not. It would still be a pretty big pot to have that, but right, it would be... easier than this case. Okay. From this, he segues into the following halacha, and this comes up in the kitchen, not on purpose, but it certainly when there's a lot of things going on in the kitchen, it can come up, or when you have helpers like men who don't know what they're doing helping out in the kitchen, right? The wrong pot lid ends up on the wrong pot. So if you have the chicken soup cooking, and then, can you go into the drawer and take out the pot, and you can go into the milk drawer and put the pot from the lid from the milk pot on top of the chicken soup, what happens? What's the status of the lid? So the Ramah says as follows in Yordaya in the beginning of Siman, Tzadi Gimel, it's actually a continuation. That's probably why he puts it over here. It's a continuation of what we just had. And he writes like this. Interesting. I'm going to read, he doesn't have the entire thing in the Ramah here, so I'm going to read a little bit more than what we have in front of us here. It says, V'din kisloi kedera kedin kedera atzma. The status of the pot lid is the same as the pot. Meaning, just like the pot gets hot, the lid gets hot, and things boil and they hit it. So you shouldn't say, well, what really happened to the lid? Right? In the pot, I understand that that's where you have your chalent cooking. So there certainly is taste of chalent that gets into the walls of the pot. But the lid, maybe I would have said, it's external to it, right? It's just on top, it's just covering it, nothing really gets into it. So the Ramah says, no. No. Whatever, there's bubbling, there's steam, whatever flavor is imparted into the pot, we assume is imparted into the lid of the pot as well. V'yesh machmirim b'kisui lomar da'afa b'yishenu b'nyomo dino kinu ki'iluhu b'nyomo. This is a very, very difficult line of the Ramah. We don't know exactly what this means yet, but again, we said that all of the halacha that we said so far is true about the giving over a flavor if it's been used within 24 hours. More than 24 hours, not. We didn't talk yet about why not. Says the Ramah that there are those who are machmir that when it comes to the cover is going to give over flavor even after 24 hours. It's wild. Because that's saying that the cover is not just the same as the pot, it's more stringent than the pot. Why on earth would the lid be more astringent than the pot? The pot is as the food in it.
Yeah, because maybe that and the food, it's heated up.
Steam and good. So let's see the rest of what the
Where is it in the Ramah?
It's the same Ramah. It's Tzadi Gimel Aleph. Same inside of Gimel's Zevalf, which is a little bit before what they put in the book over here. Well, that's a good explanation. Let's just see what else the Ramah says before we get back to that explanation. V'chei noagim b'ktsas mekomos, says, and that's what they do in some places. V'chei ani noheg mipnei aminhag. And that's what we do, says Rabbi Ramah, in my house. Apparently the Ramah helped out also and caused trouble in his wife's kitchen as well. Right? And then he writes, V'hu chumra b'lo tam. The Ramah. I do it. It's a chumra. But there is no logic. There is no logic to the chumra. U'mikomakom b'mokom sheishum tzal lahatir b'lav hachi yoshu l'tzorach Shabbos. If there's any slight reason, since it's a chumra b'lo tam, is that a good reason? So there's any pressure whatsoever to be matir, to say it's permitted, one would be allowed to. Yesh lahatir, if it's not a ben yomo. So why is this, once he says that zochomer below tam, so then obviously we want to try to find the reason, right? So Ma says that the. Oh. So some suggest, like what you were suggesting, which is that there's a certain intensity of the steam, which is actually more, intense than the pot itself. But logically, why does that make it like a ben yomo? So I think it's the Bach suggests that the pshat is that because it's more intense, we're always concerned that maybe there are pieces. Maybe there's what we call be'en. Maybe there's real mamashus. If there's mamashus, if there's actual is there actual meat, so that's a whole different topic, right? There, of course, we're going to be machmer. There's no halacha of no same time. There's no halacha of 24 hours if you actually have the fleshiks there, and that's why some suggest you machmer. But again, it seems to be it's a bit of a chumrah. But let's either way, whether you're machmer for that or not, when is it a problem? When is it a problem? So now is where he continues here with what the Ramah says here. That was just one of those fascinating introductions of, it's like a collector's item Ramah. So it's worth doing. Vim lakho kisoy roseach. Okay, so scenario number one. You take a lid off of a boiling pot, so the lid itself is very hot. Mikadero shabasar unasano oso al kadeira shel chalav. And you put it on top of a milchik pot. Now, there are two possibilities as to the status of the milchik pot. The metzius, right? Is the milchik pot hot, or is the milchik pot cold? Right? You could have a milchik pot which is just starting to heat up, and you want to put it to make sure that it heats faster. Or it could be, you know, it's going to boil out. Let's cover it. So, im shneim chamim, if they're both hot. So the lid, the fleshik lid is hot, and the milchik pot is hot. Shneim asurim im yesh meichel b'kadero shel basar v'chalav. And if there's food inside of the opposite type, everything is going to be aser. Again, certainly within 24 hours, and again, according to the Chumrah of the Ramah, even if it's more than 24 hours. So if you take a hot pot, the wrong lid of the pot when it's hot, and put it on the wrong hot pot, you got yourselves a problem. And if it's glass, you got yourselves a bigger problem. Right? If you're Ashkenazi. If you're Sephardi, then Shalom Yisrael, all is good. What happens if the kisoy, if the lid is cold? Like, that's the example that I gave before. So the pot is boiling, and they're told to go take from the cabinet a lid. So the lid is cold, and you put it on top. Nami shneim asurim im hiskel hazia tachas akisoy de tata agavar. So the Ramah throws into a concept that we're going to get back to in other contexts as well, which is that when you have conflicting things, one on top and one on the bottom, do we assume that the bottom overwhelms the top or the top overwhelms the bottom? And he says that usually we assume that tata agavar, that the bottom one is stronger. So in this case, right, if it was the top one was stronger, the top one is cold, so it wouldn't cause a problem for us. But the but since the bottom one is stronger, then the bottom one overwhelms the top, and now you have the heat going into this. The caveat, though, is that it won't be aser if the steam doesn't start going yet. Meaning, if you put it on, and after a few seconds, take it off, and the steam hasn't had time to build up, and it was cold to start off with, so it didn't really heat up yet, so then there's nothing to be concerned about yet. And then that would be permitted. How long do you have? So that's what he quotes over here from the Prima Gadim. What's the temperature that we have as a good halachic temperature for these types of situations? Yad Soled Esbo. Now, Yad Soled Esbo is the big machlokas, what Yad Soled Esbo, what temperature that is. We assume, basically, you need to, at least in Hilchos Shabbos for sure, you need to be machmir anywhere from about 110 to 160, whichever one is the bigger chumrah. So let's assume 110, assuming that we'll be machmir here as well. So I don't know. It doesn't take that long probably to get to be, if it's a really a boiling pot and you cover it, it probably doesn't take that long, but I'm sure you have at least you have enough time to say, oh no, I made a mistake, and take it off. More than that, you may not have time for the wife to come back and see and still rescue you. And still rescue you at that point. Oh. What about, he doesn't bring here the third case, what's the last possibility? I'm back in the real Ramah. He doesn't have this case over here. What happens if the pot is cold and the lid is hot? And the lid is hot. So then Hakol Shari. Then there's not really anything to be concerned about. The only thing to possibly be concerned about is Rak HaMeichel Tzarech Klipa. Maybe we should be concerned that something dripped. Right, because there's often is like that, you know, condensation of the steam on top. So maybe we should be concerned that there is some sort of mamushus on the hot lid, and that falls down. So if you can cut off the top of a layer, it didn't get absorbed because there was no heat in the bottom. There was no heat in the bottom. Then it's better to do that. He says, but im efshar l'kof, if it's possible, v'im lava kol shari. But if not, you don't have to be concerned. So that is, yeah.
We're talking here about asurim or mutar. We're talking about the food inside. We're not talking about the pot itself, that it's not kosher. Is that correct? What are we talking about asurim?
Well, if the food becomes asur, then it's going to then asur the pot. Meaning the lid won't, the lid is not going to, right? Sometimes you have to think of it, some things happen simultaneously and sometimes they happen consecutively. So that if you have a situation in which the food becomes asur and the food is now hot inside the pot, then that can potentially, then we assume that gets absorbed into the pot. If that's enough to asur the pot, then yeah, then the pot would be problematic.
And problematic and it cannot be kosher.
Well, that depends on what the pot's made out of. Right? That gets into materials, which we're not dealing with for the moment. Okay, good. So that's the, well, the sugya of the lids of the pots. Now we go to the next section. He starts talking about Nosein Tam Lefgam. Nosein Tam Lefgam is really that which saves most situations in the kitchen. So he writes here a little bit of an introduction, right? We've seen so far that flavor from a food utensil that comes in contact with another utensil or food will be transferred from one to the other, again, under certain conditions. You need there to be heat, sometimes you need there to be liquid as well. However, there is an exception to this rule. Okay, maybe I wouldn't have written it that way. Okay, there's an exception that you all know that has no sein tam lefgam. That no sein tam lefgam means it gives a negative taste, as opposed to give no sein tam leshvach, is that it gives a positive. No sein tam means it gives flavor. But that flavor can either be a good flavor or a bad flavor. A tam, which is pugum, was not asr. It's not asr. It's not forbidden. So, based on that, if the taste is going to detract from the taste of the other food rather than enhancing it, it does not get transferred. I don't know why he says it that way. Well, the Pasha says that it does get transferred. It just doesn't forbid when it transfers, right? The taste is going to probably move in either direction. I guess that's what he means, the transference that we are concerned about. Oh. Chazal understood, is what he says right now, one important application of this rule is a case where the meat or dairy utensil was not used for the previous 24 hours. Right? No sein tam lefgam means that it is a bad flavor. The simplest situation of a negative flavor is that something was spoiled. Right? It was actually a bad flavor. The chiddush is that Chazal understood that any flavor that sits in the walls of a pot for more than 24 hours becomes stale. And now can no longer infuse, when it comes out of the walls of the pot, a positive flavor. And that's where this 24-hour important cutoff line is going to come from, which is why, when things go wrong in the kitchen, one of the first questions that the rabbi asks is, was it used within the last 24 hours? Similarly, but again, it's a little bit beyond the scope of what we're doing right now, when it comes to the things that are be'en, when you have like mamushas there, actual meat, or then the important question is there soap? Because right, soap is a davar hapogem, right? Soap, if you have actual little bits of meat on the pot, and there's soap in it, so that's going to spoil that flavor. And then if that gets into something, you're now dealing with a tam pugum. That's the way, again, it's a little bit of a machlokas, but that's the way oftentimes kashrus agencies deal with having to kasher know, commercial facilities like a hotel or something like that. Because usually we say you have to wait 20, we'll hopefully explain more why in the future, but usually you have to wait 24 hours before koshering. Why? Because you want to make sure that whatever flavor is going to come out when you do the koshering is not going to be a flavor which can forbid something. But what do you do if you're in a situation which is high turnover and there's no way to possibly wait 24 hours? You know, you want to kosher the commercial dishwasher because you have a dinner for 800 people in a Hilton, and it was used the previous night for a treif wedding. So one possibility is that you can't do anything. That's not a good possibility. So the question is are we allowed to actively be pogame? Meaning, if you run a cycle through that dishwasher with bleach, dishwasher soap, something like that, can we now, we still have to, that doesn't kosher it. But is that enough to then spoil the flavor that now what we're dealing with is a negative flavor, which is what we want? Meaning, is that now the equivalent of having waited 24 hours? So I believe most kosher agencies do rely on that. And that's the way, it's not the way of koshering it, but it's a way of preparing it that now it can be kosher. So that's what Chazal understood, that 24 hours is this magic number, that things become stale after that time. So now, let's think for a moment. If I have a fleishik pot, my chalon pot, and I haven't used it since Shabbos, and now it's Wednesday, and I want to make a lasagna. I don't know if you make lasagna in a pot, whatever it is. You want to make something with cheese in that pot. Am I allowed to do it? Okay, why?
Because it's...
Right, it's no sin tam lefgam. No sin tam lefgam. Right, so the chora, when we said that the halacha is that you're not allowed to use the same pots, right? That's only within 24 hours. After 24, nobody's allowed to leave before I clarify this. By the way, after 24 hours, there shouldn't be any problem anymore. It's a tam pugam. It can't aser anything. And in fact, one of the great Rishonim, the Ra'ah, only had one set of dishes. And he was machmir not to eat milchik, not to switch from one to the other within 24 hours. He was machmir to only use the dishes once in 24 hours, but he only had one set of dishes because you don't need more than one set of dishes. Because you don't need more than one set of dishes as long as you wait the 24 hours. Okay. Now, obviously, we don't do that. Let's understand why not. So it says the Shulchan Aruch, number 19. Kedera...
That's the truth.
Oh, here we go. Kedera shebishel ba'basar. If you have a pot in which you cooked meat, lo yevashel ba'chalav. Right, this is the exact quote that we had before. And basic rule, basar v'chol, you can't cook meat and milk in the same pot. V'im bishel ba besoch meis leis, and if you did it within 24 hours, also b'no same time. Then if it gives flavor, it's going to be problematic. V'ch Rama says, v'tzarech l'shayr neged kol hakadera, and you have to include in when you're calculating the shishim, the volume, I guess, is the right way of saying it, of the pot. But if you waited 24 hours since you cooked the fleishiks, now the tam is a negative flavor. So now he says 2 points. Point number one is the tavshil, the food is permitted. Why is the food permitted? Because nothing happened. Right, the flavor that got in was a negative flavor. Now he did not say you're allowed to do it. Right? Umutra tashil is bidyeved. Bidyeved, it's okay. However, he throws in another point. Aval hakadera asr levashoba. Lo basav lo chalav. But the pot you are not allowed to use for anything. So what is this distinction between the food and the pot. Between the food and the pot. That's what we need to try and understand. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch tells us. So again, he's not saying that you're allowed to do any of this, but if it happened, mistake happened in the kitchen, you cooked milchiks in a fleshy kapot, it was more than 24 hours, the food is mutter, end of story, you're allowed to eat that food, not a problem. The pot, though, is a problem. The pot is a problem.
So what is the logic behind that, that you would say that the pot is a problem?
That's what we're going to explain right now. Okay. Good. So let's see. So it says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Hei Mabez. So if you have utensils that, again, it's a Avodah Zarah, so we're talking about kelim that belong to a non-Jew. Not always a Masechta Avodah Zarah, but part of the major sugyas of what we call Giulei Nachrim. Giulei Nachrim are the pots that need to be kashered that were used, right, Haggalah, from the same Shoresh, of the non-Jewish people, the treif pots of the people of Midian. That's the original concept, context. So again, all of those, the pots that belong to a non-Jew, that in one, if somebody used it before immersing, purging, heating, and it's going to get, and it got hot. So one brisa says that the food is forbidden, and one says that is permitted. If you used it, if you used the pot. Why would that be? Why such a distinction? Lo kasha? Hakaman damar nosei tam lefgam is aser, hakaman damar nosei tam lefgam is mutter. Woo! So first of all, the Gemara now points out, again, we already have a sneak peek how we paskin, but not everybody agrees that no Saint Talmud of Gam is going to be permitted. There is an opinion that even after 24 hours, it would still be a problem. Why? Because there is Isser there. Okay, but it doesn't contribute anything positive? Okay. Even bad-tasting Isser is still Isser. We paskin like the other opinion, that no Saint Talmud of Gam is going to be mutter. But now says the Gemara like this: Uleman de Amar no Saint Tam Nifgam is mutter, and according to the opinion, which is us, right, the way we paskin, that if it gives a negative flavor, it's going to be permitted. So why are we so concerned about using non-Jewish treif vessels? We're going away somewhere. What's the big deal? No Saint Tam Nifgam is mutter. So as long as you rent an Airbnb, and the pots are clean, and you wait 24 hours after you get there, you should be able to use the whole kitchen. No saying, we paskin, no saying, Kam is mutter. What are we concerned about? Amar avchia berei dravahuna lo asra tol el kdera asyoma delav no saying, Tam lifkamu. Says, yeah, it's true. Right? The Torah only forbids a pot if it was used for the same day. But if not, then it would not be a problem. So the Gemara says, "Mikan ve'elach lishteri." Really? After 24 hours, you can use that entire treif kitchen, no problem? No. Gezeira kadeira she'ena bas yoma mishum kadeira bas yoma. Chazal were concerned that if you're allowed to use the non-kosher kelim, you're not going to remember that that there's a timer that has to go off before you can use it again. And therefore, midrabanan, and only midrabanan, you're not allowed to use that kli after 24 hours. But midoraisa, one would be allowed to. Why? Again, because it's no Saint Tom, Lifgam. Oh. Now, the Tosos here on the next page addresses the question that we had, which is again, why are you not allowed to use the pot? You're not allowed to use the pot because of a gzeira. But we said you're allowed to eat the food. Right, this Gemara didn't say that, but we saw that in the Shulchan Aruch, and he quotes that from elsewhere. So what's the difference, right, that was a question he asked beforehand, what's the difference between the food and the pot? Why don't we say that you should not be allowed to eat the food, because gzeira, that maybe if you cook food in a pot, which is a ben yomo, within 24 hours, you're going to make a mistake. So why are we distinguishing between the pot and the food? Says Tosfos, Hilkach davar mavusha b'kli she'ena ben yomo mutter. You have something which is cooked in a pot which is not used within 24 hours, it's going to be permitted. V'yesh la says ta maru lahater meichel v'lesar akadera. Why are we distinguishing between the pot and the food? Levishakadera haya ba iser gomer tchila. Avalamaychel ol nivla bo iser meolam. What's the distinction between the two? This pot once had full-fledged iser in it. Right, we're talking about the non-Jewish pot now. Right, pot used by a non-Jew. So this pot, for the first 24 hours after the non-Jew cooked in it, had real iser in it. The food never actually absorbed real iser. It only absorbed the nosein tam lifgam. And therefore, there's more of a reason to be machmir on that which, again, in its current state that we have it, it already had been usur and now became mutter. When it came to the food was never usur. It became mutter immediately upon absorbing this. Is it possible there'll still be confusion? Yes. Obviously it's possible. But when Chazal were looking at the levels of concern and the stringency of the isur, it is certainly more chamor if the item had already been usur.
So what would you do then if you took a flesh of the pot? And if it wasn't a pot that was usur before?
If what?
It wasn't a pot that was usur before.
So what's the case?
Not a trefa pot.
Okay.
A fleshy pot. And you cook relatively well.
Ah, good. So when it comes to milchiks, let's go when it comes to milchiks and fleshiks as opposed to... So that was what we said before. And we said that the pot is going to be usur.
Right, but what's the story with the machel?
That the machel is going to be mutter. So why?
Why?
Oh, good. That's so why is that? Good, 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 good. So why is that? Why is that going to be the case?
Wait, so, wait, this is a ben yoma or a shayla ben yoma. Is this used?
What do you mean?
24 hours, or this is used after 24? The chalet pot on Sunday, right. You're going to now make a French onion soup with cheese.
Or potato au gratin.
Potato au gratin. Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Okay. So I'm
okay.
Wednesday, from Shabbos to Sunday. You're making it Sunday night.
Sunday night. Okay.
Okay. So let's see the next case in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Im ein hakaf ben yomo. If you have a spoon that is not a ben yomo, hakadir v'tavshem v'tarim v'akaf aser lechatchila. So when what happens in this case? You take the pot of the wrong kind, then you put it into the pot of the other one. So you have a dairy spoon. You're going to put it into a fleshika pot. So the food is going to be permitted, but the spoon is going to be aser. Bainim basar, bainim cholav, you can't use it at all. Umikamokam deviavit eino oseres kemich loisa bas yoma. Right? So the spoon, which again is just similar to the pot that we saw beforehand, we're saying cannot be used at all. Cannot be used at all. The food is okay, but not the spoon. Your question is why? It was never usher before. So why can't it be used anymore? Right? That's your question? So says the Shach, number 24. V'akaf asur lechatchila bein basar bein chalav, kevan shehu balua mibasar umechalav. Avam shar devar mutter. You know what the problem is? The problem isn't that it was once asur, but the problem is that now I'm going to use this pot. This pot has in it blios of basar and chalav. Once you have that combination, Chazal said that's another reason to be machmir. So again, when it came to the non-kosher, so there the reason to be machmir was because of concern that you make because it was once usur beforehand. Here, it is Chazal said there's no way we can let you cook lechatchila with a pot that now has, they might all be stale absorptions right now, but this pot contains absorptions of both basar and chalav that we're not going to touch. So it's a different reason to lead to the same chumrah. And therefore, we can't use it. Interestingly, the Prima Gadim suggests, Aval Shar Dvarim Mutter, meaning what did it say that you're not allowed to, right? It said, Kevish Lubulum Basar Vachav, Aval Imshar Dvarim Mutter, said you're not allowed to use it for milchiks or fleshiks. So what are you allowed to use it for? What are you allowed to use it for? Right? So maybe you can use it for something that is neither. That is what he tries to suggest, but he says that's not the minhag. technically speaking, that is going to be forbidden. Because again, if you think about it, what's the problem? The problem isn't just that you're heating up the pot and the pot has basar and chalav in it. It's that there's stale basar and chalav in the, and now one of them is coming in fresh, right? If you use it for basar, use it for chalav. So now you are lechatchila mixing together one with the other type. So if I used it for challah now and it has milchiks absorbed into it, so now I am mixing them together, which again we are not going to permit. But if it was parv, then in theory that would be okay. But we are machmir on that as well. Next time in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to talk about two things. They talk about what if you don't know? What if you don't know when it was last used? So what do we assume about stam kelim? And then we'll discuss a little bit, just to try and rile up the crowd again, because we already discussed it a little bit, but using a treif utensil for cold food. Using a treif utensil for cold food. And then we'll talk a little bit about glass and some other things.
Machil is kosher
because it never was usher before, and it's not being cooked again.
But
it doesn't have either.
I think it is boleya from the pot.
It was, but again, as long as it was no Saint Tom Lifgam, as long as it was negative, there's nothing to be concerned about going forward. There was nothing to be concerned about going past because it was never asr, and you're not cooking it again in a pot that has both basar and chalav, so therefore it's going to be the big kula to be matir the food.